Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Hey, welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, and more. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website. Go to reloans.com, hit the Contact Us tab, leave your comment and question, and we'll get to them at our next show, probably. And we love your feedback and comments. So tell us what you think, and if there's other items or subject matter that you'd like us to inquire about or educate you on, we're happy to do that. Got an exciting show today. We're going to answer some of the questions that you gave from our last show on credit scores. And then we're going to give you a behind-the-curtain look at reverse mortgages. And then we're going to tell you how or tell you where interest rates are trending and where you might find that information for yourselves in the future. So let's get started. Let's answer some questions and comments from our last show. Here's a question from Tony, who asked, how does inquiries affect my credit score? Well, Tony, there's two types of inquiries, a hard inquiry or a soft inquiry. Typically, soft inquiries are from non-credit users, persons such as like insurance companies, people that don't actually extend credit but will get your credit for use for setting up a new utility, or let's say you want the electricity changed to your name for a new apartment. That'd be a soft inquiry. A hard inquiry would be for like getting a new car or a rental application, credit cards, mortgage companies. These people will hit your credit report, and they're actually looking to see what your credit history has been trending. Each inquiry can take 5 to 10 points off your score. So my recommendation, if I'm going to buy a car or rent an apartment, get a report yourself from Credit Karma or another service. That would be a soft inquiry. Print it out and make copies. So if I'm going to make a loan rental application to management company number one, I make that application and I attach my credit report right on there, and I do not authorize them to run a new report. There's the report there. It's dated, it's current, and it's a soft inquiry. I know it won't go against my other credit or score. So you might even do the same thing with an auto dealership. If you're shopping for a car, do not authorize anybody to run your credit. Give them a copy, and then and only then, when you make a purchase and you know you're going to finance that purchase, allow them to run the credit. Great question, Tony. Hope that that helps and gives you some insight as to how inquiries affect your credit. Okay, let's get to the heart of the show and show me the money or the credit, as the case may go, with the Credit Connection. Today we're going to talk about reverse mortgages. Pretty exciting stuff with reverse mortgages. It's kind of a unique program. And we're going to go over the myths and misconceptions about the loan program itself. So let's start with some of the myths that are associated with the reverse mortgage. First, myth, I cannot get a reverse mortgage if I have an existing mortgage. Well, the fact is that that's false. If your house isn't paid off, the proceeds from the reverse mortgage must first be used to pay off the existing mortgage. This is the most common reason that homeowners get a reverse mortgage, to pay off the existing mortgage so that they no longer have any payments to make, or the payment is flexible. If I have $200,000 mortgage and I'm wanting to put a reverse mortgage on, indeed, I can pay off that $200,000 with the new reverse mortgage, and my payment is now extinguished. So that frees up maybe $1,800 a month that I might have been paying on the previous mortgage that I no longer have and is money in my pocket. So that's one myth. If I take out a reverse mortgage, the lender will own my home. That's absolutely and emphatically false. Homeowners still retain title and ownership to their home during the life of the loan and can choose to sell the house at any time as long as the borrower continues to live in and maintain the home, and property taxes and home insurance, the loan cannot be called or be in default. So the lender never takes title of your home until after a foreclosure proceeding, and you have control over whether a foreclosure proceeding takes place or not. So let's say, for example, you have a reverse mortgage on there, and it's a loan balance is $300,000. Your home is worth $600,000. When you sell it, or it gets sold, you sell it for $600,000, you pay off the reverse mortgage of $300,000, and you pocket the other $300,000, or it goes to your estate, whoever is making a sale. So the lender never takes title to your home, or equity for that matter. It all remains your property and your equity, or for your estate. Third, there's a restriction on how reverse mortgage proceeds are used. Well, that's also false. There are no restrictions. The cash proceeds from the reverse mortgage can be used for virtually any purpose, and the borrower should be cautious of lenders attempting to cross-sell other products. So the money is yours. You get to use it any way you wish. If you do have an existing mortgage, the first proceeds are used to extinguish that or pay it off in full. But there's no limits or restrictions on how you use the funds. You can use them in a number of ways, and we'll get into that in a little bit when we talk about the features. Only low-income seniors get reverse mortgages. Well, that also is not true. That myth is absolutely false. Although some seniors may have a greater need than others for monthly proceeds or a lump sum from reverse mortgages, most simply just prefer to be free of the monthly mortgage payments. And they can take out payments or take out amounts from the balance available anytime they wish. And without monthly payments, many homeowners find that they can maintain their existing quality of life and build their savings to help with other future expenses. A growing number of people who have no immediate need are taking out these loans so that they have financial cushion for future expenses. So they don't have to even take a draw, but there's also a number of reasons why you would take out a reverse mortgage and not have to be a low income to qualify for it. Myth number five, if I outlive my life expectancy, the lender will evict me. Well, that's not true, and that's absolutely false. The lender can't evict you unless the property is actually foreclosed upon, regardless of how long you live. Reverse mortgage, lenders put no time limit on how long the borrower can stay in their home. Since homeowners still own the property, lenders cannot evict them so long as the borrower continues to live and maintain the home, property taxes, and insurance, home insurance is paid up. So, and that's true of all borrowers. So if you outlive your spouse, you continue to live in that property for the remainder of your life as well. So there is no life expectancy or eviction because of how long you live. Hopefully you live a long, long time. Another myth is that the reverse mortgage will affect my government benefits. The fact is that a reverse mortgage generally does not affect any Social Security or Medicare benefits, predominantly because it's not income. These are loan proceeds from your home, and they're not taxable or even reportable as income on your tax returns. If you are on Medicaid, some reverse mortgage proceeds that you receive may count as an asset and could impact your Medicare eligibility. To be sure, we recommend that potential borrowers consult their federal benefits administrator or financial advisors for that benefit. But for the most part, a reverse mortgage will not affect the benefits that you're entitled to. Another myth is that there's no objective advisor available to seniors trying to decide if a reverse mortgage suits their needs. That is also a false statement. Borrowers are required to work with independent third-party counselors approved by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, in their local communities. This education session helps them make the right decisions for the unique situations that they have. In fact, you have to have a HUD certificate, HUD eligibility certificate, stating that you've gone through this educational course before you can get a reverse mortgage. And what it is, it's a little bit of education by the lender and about a half hour telephone interview with the HUD counselor. Another myth is that my children will be responsible for the repayment of the loan. That's also false. If the borrower or if their estate wants to retain the property, all you have to do is pay off the loan, whatever that balance happens to be when you enter into that transaction. However, as long as the borrower or their estate sells the property to pay off the debt, there is no recourse if the reverse mortgage balance exceeds the home's value at maturity. What that means is a non-recourse, meaning that let's say that you live to 120 and the balance of the loan exceeded the value of the home. At that case, when you died, your estate would really just walk away from it. They would not be required to pay the difference or the shortfall of the value versus the balance of the loan. Any equity that does remain in the property after reverse mortgage is paid belongs to the borrower or their estate. So never will you owe more than the home is actually worth, regardless of the terms or conditions of the reverse mortgage. Another myth, reverse mortgages lenders take advantage of seniors. Well, I hope not. Seniors who have been victims of reverse mortgage lending schemes are extreme exceptions and typically victims of unsavory lenders. As a consumer, you should only work with reputable lenders. Protect yourself by conducting as much research as possible and consulting government agencies, your financial advisors, and peers who may have had a reverse mortgage or gotten one. I highly recommend you get references and have a trust relationship with the lender that you wish to work with. Another myth, I've heard I won't qualify for a reverse because of a limited income. This is predominantly false. Most traditional mortgages do require income qualifications and a monthly mortgage payment. However, the reverse mortgage generally does not use income as a factor and as it pays you, and they rarely ever anticipate a payment on the reverse mortgage, so your income can be significantly less. What's important is that you have enough to pay your property taxes, your homeowner's insurance, and have a bit of residual income for your monthly incidentals, food, clothing, automobile, those types of things. So those are some of the myths that I've encountered in doing reverse mortgages. We're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we're going to discuss the features of reverse mortgage, some of the reasons why you would want one and why you wouldn't, and who qualifies, who doesn't. And we'll get right back into reverse mortgages right after this message.
This just in, breaking news from David Brown of American Senior.
Considering a reverse mortgage? Listen, FHA is changing this program October 2nd. FHA is increasing their upfront mortgage insurance premium 4 times the current cost, which means after September, your $200,000 FHA reverse mortgage insurance will increase dramatically. FHA is also reducing the principal limit factors, lowering the amount you can take from your reverse mortgage. If you're age 62, your principal limit is going to reduce from 52.4% to 41%. So, if your home is worth $500,000, your available loan amount could drop $57,000. Act now. Call David Brown at American Senior at 686-2321 before this program changes. Get the most out of your reverse mortgage. Call 805-686-2321. American Senior, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law, Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS number 7147, California number 3413937.
Okay, we're back. Welcome back to the Credit Connection, where we're discussing reverse mortgages and all the features associated with it. First of all, what are the requirements for a reverse mortgage? Well, first, one of the borrowers must be 62 years or older. I say one of them because you might be 62 and have a younger bride and doesn't meet that qualification. You can still get a reverse mortgage so long as one of you is 62 or older. They will, however, determine your loan amount by the youngest of the borrowers. So make that known. It'll change your outlook a bit from that perspective. You must have equity in your home for either a refinance or a purchase. So you can use a reverse mortgage for each, a reverse mortgage or a purchase, but you'll have to have equity in the house or home that you are wanting to finance. The property must be your primary residence. That's a requirement. It has to be the primary residence. And what they're trying to do there is that they don't want to have a reverse mortgage for rentals or investment property. They want to be your primary residence. It's meant to be seniors. It's meant to augment your retirement years. And that's the reason for that. As said earlier, you must also obtain a HUD's reverse mortgage certificate. This is a program where you've had a half-hour interview on the phone with a HUD counselor, and they've identified you. This is to protect the seniors from any abuse from a lender or anybody else. They know that you have the capacity and the wherewithal. You don't have dementia and things of that nature to transact for such an important agreement. So they're just making sure of those features and that you understand what's involved with the reverse mortgage. Next, how is the loan amount or the loan amount available determined? Well, it's a number of factors that determine that. First is the value of the home. What's this appraised for? And then if that exceeds the county maximum, it just doesn't matter if you're getting a typical FHA reverse mortgage. What I mean by that is that let's say you want a reverse mortgage and you know that your home is valued at $850,000. Well, here in Santa Barbara, the county maximum is $679,650. So anything above that amount really doesn't matter. That equity will remain in the property and they won't be giving you credit for it. However, if your appraisal only came up to $500,000, that would be your maximum. So that determines, that's one feature that determines how much you can get. The age of the youngest borrower, we left that last time. The youngest borrower will be the person who they use basically it's a life, not annuity, but what they call well, it's annuity tables, actuary tables that determine how much longer you're supposed to live. They're used by life insurance as well and the likes. So that'll determine the amount that you get. And then, for example, a 65-year-old person will get less of an amount than the same person in the same property who is age 75. So you're fewer years left on this earth, and so you're going to get more of that equity out today. Then the next issue is what program that you're using, the interest rate selected. The lower the interest rate, usually the more equity you can get out because it'll last longer in a lower interest rate environment than a higher interest rate environment just by virtue of the fact that this accrues on itself. So it at 5%, it takes a longer time to accrue and double than if the loan amount or the loan rate was at 4.5%. So those are the features that determine how much money you can get out of the home. What can the funds be used for? Well, this is a fun thing because there are no restrictions. I've had people use this to refinance existing mortgages, pay off the existing mortgage, and then eliminate the payment that they had with the original mortgage. The reverse mortgage has no payments. If you don't want a payment, you don't have to have one. And so let's say you're paying $2,000 a month on your existing payment. You put on a reverse mortgage, no more payments. So those are funds used for that. You might have a in-home health care instead of going to a retirement community or a skilled nursing facility. You can have capital available to hire in-home health care and pay for those services. It might be you need some home repairs for these funds. You might need to make, let's say, handicap ramps or put in grab bars for bathrooms, things of this nature. Maybe you need a new roof or you want to put in a jacuzzi or spa for health purposes. These are all things that you could do with the funds. You might have a bucket list of items, maybe that world vacation or something that you want to do that whittles down that bucket list. Could be a new car, could be a vacation. It's up to you. Like I said, there's no restrictions on what you use the money for. I even had one person use the funds for a charity. She told me that when she was to pass, that all her estate was going to go to this particular charity, and that gave her great comfort and warm and fuzzies for leaving it to the charity. I told her, I says, what if you were to give her give them a substantial amount today and let the charity use those funds? Well, she ended up doing it. The way it worked out is that we gave the we put on a reverse mortgage, gave the charity the cash proceeds from that, and she still had no payments to the mortgage because there are no required payments for reverse mortgage. So the charity received a big chunk of change, and now she volunteers for that charity, and she's building a legacy rather than just handing over a check when she's passed. So it was a win-win for both people. Not only that, but this year after doing that, she's going to have a really significant charitable tax donation on her tax return. So she's not going to have an income tax issue for several years out by virtue of that gift. So it's helping her today, and it's helping the charity. And then also, I've had people use the proceeds to maximize their Social Security. What this means is that, let's say I put on a reverse mortgage when I'm 62, so I can retire when I'm 62. But I won't get my full benefits for Social Security until I'm 67, all right? Well, how do I make up that gap in my income to get the maximum benefit when I'm 67 for Social Security? Well, I can put on a reverse mortgage and supplement that that income, if you will, that way, or eliminate the existing mortgage and carry it out till I'm 67, which is the magic number for Social Security, to optimize my benefits. So basically, I'm deferring it, and I can do it that way. So that's another great reason. I can extend my retirement assets. So let's say I have a large 401k or IRA, but when I draw down on those, I'm going to be taxed the normal rate, excepting a Roth IRA, of course. But let's say I'm pulling down or getting a pension. I'm going to be paying tax on every dollar I pull out. With a reverse mortgage, I can take out funds and not be taxed on that. So it can be used for tax planning. Or let's say I want to offset a capital gains situation. I can use the reverse mortgage for that as well. And then finally, I can use the funds for investment and diversification, including income. Let's say I have a nice little portfolio, but I've got a home that's free and clear, and it's not, let's face it, it's going to be going up with appreciation regardless of what debt is associated with it. So if I have a $500,000 home and the appreciation is 10%, it's going to go up $50,000 regardless of what my my debt situation is. If I get a reverse mortgage and I pull out $200,000 of that equity, I can then reinvest it with the market and have that going up as concurrently. And right now, I guess the stock market's on a roar, and it's averaging over 18% for the past year. Not that that will continue, but let's say the average is 5%, and you can do better. So that's another reason for pulling out the cash. There's no restrictions on it. Is there a minimum credit score? Well, they're going to look at your credit because they're going to look for bankruptcies and things of that nature, other obligations that you have, car payments and the like. But to tell you there's a minimum score, I would say no. I've never seen a credit score affect the credit, the reverse mortgage, and predominantly because we never expect a payment. So I really don't care what your credit history is in most capacity of the reverse mortgage. It just doesn't matter for the most part. How's the debt paid off? Well, the debt's paid off in several ways. I can refinance the reverse mortgage. I can make payments on a reverse mortgage. A lot of people don't realize that, but you can make a payment, and you make enough payments that you can pay it off. I can sell the home. That's one way. I put it on the market. I sell it for $500. I pay off a $300,000 reverse mortgage and pocket the difference. Or I can do an insurance payout. For example, let's say I had one client. He had a $400,000 home. And he asked his financial advisor, he said, what's the probability of me paying off this or of this asset doubling in my lifetime? And he's, I think he was about 70 years old. And financial advisor told him in that particular market, well, if that were to double to 800,000, it would be pretty remote over the time that he had left. So he ended up taking his reverse mortgage proceeds. He bought a single premium life policy for $500,000. And that would be more valuable to his heirs than the real estate. And that's what he did with the proceeds. It was kind of an interesting scenario and another way of doing estate planning. So the reverse mortgage, even if you're not using the proceeds for your personal use, it might help you with planning that estate. Okay. What must the loan be paid off for or call feature? Okay. What they're saying is that when is the loan required to be paid off? Well, when the last borrower dies, basically, the loan comes due and has to be paid off. When you move out of the home or it's no longer your primary residence, it has to be paid off. If you fail to pay your property taxes or property insurance, you've defaulted on the loan and they can call it and it would have to be paid off at that time. Or if you let the property, again, part of your contract, if you let the property fall into neglect or disrepair, became uninhabitable for health and safety purposes, the loan could be called and would come due. Well, let's approach the elephant in the room here. How expensive is a reverse mortgage? Well, let's not kid anybody. It's perhaps the most expensive loan you'll get for a mortgage. The reason for that is most of the cost is upfront for, you guessed it, our mortgage insurance, which is provided by the government. And right now that insurance is 2% of the county maximum limit or the appraised value, whichever is less. So if your property were to appraise for $600,000, 2% of that would be $12,000, and that would be your mortgage premium for that particular mortgage, reverse mortgage. Okay, other expenses in the reverse mortgage are your typical title, escrow, appraisal, lender fees, origination fees, and most of those are considered typical for any other loan. Anyway, we're now out of time, and we're going to have to cut it short. I want to thank you for being here. I do have a free booklet on my website that goes into more detail about reverse mortgages. Go to my website, reloans.com, and click on the reverse mortgage tab. We didn't get to trends or on interest rates, and we didn't cover quite everything on reverse mortgages. We'll try and catch up on that in our next program. And the time goes by fast. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, click Contact Us. Leave your comments. We love hearing from you, your questions, and we'll tackle those on the next week's show. Thanks for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, wishing you all the credit worthiness you deserve. Carpe diem, everyone.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSNA.